Welcome to Spiritual Harmony. Today we are paying tribute to Arthur Hillcote, one of the doyens of the Satya Sai Organisation of Australia, who recently left this earthly plane. Arthur was responsible in a large part for the establishment of the Sai Organisation in Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea and Fiji back in the early 80s and onwards from there. And the Sai Organisation has blossomed to include spiritual seekers from all walks of life, from all creeds and faiths and all religions. Arthur volunteered to be one of the group leaders when the first wave of groups ventured to India back in the early 80s to visit the ashram of Satya Sai Baba. And back then, conditions were very Spartan, to say the least, for a Westerner, unlike the India that we know of today. Well known for his peaceful nature, compassion and passion for living the Sai service message, Arthur will be sadly missed by so many people, both in Australia and overseas. So I've asked Ron Farmer, another long-time devotee of Satya Sai Baba and key person in the field of education and human values in the Sai organisation, to talk to us today and share a little about Arthur Hillcote, as Ron has known and worked with Arthur for several decades. So we'll just play the first piece of music and then I'll introduce you to Ron.
Sai Gita hai bhakti swarupa, Sai Gita hai prem swarupa, Sai Gita hai bhakti swarupa, Sai Gita hai prem swarupa, bhakti ki jivan bhar jisne Sai ki शक्ति से चली गई सृष्टि से चली गई सृष्टि से बचपन बीता साई के संग साई के संग खेले माँ बेटी सा रिश्ता उनका रहती नहीं अकेले खोज ही लेती ओ साई को नई नई चली गई सृष्टि से शबरी जैसा भक्ति भाव था हनुमान सी ब्रह्मचारिणी प्रेम की अंतर ज्योति में ज्ञानवान वो आदिकारिणी साई के हाथों से विभूति खाई सदा साई के हाथों से विभूति खाई सदा तृप्ति से चली गई सृष्टि से चली गई सृष्टि से
है उनकी प्रेरणा और आदर्श बनी वो साई के भक्तों की हृदय बसी वो सत्य साई के अपनी इस मुक्ति से हृदय बसी वो सत्य साई के अपनी इस मुक्ति से चली गई सृष्टि से चली गई सृष्टि से साई गीता है भक्ति स्वरूपा साई गीता है प्रेम स्वरूपा साई गीता है भक्ति स्वरूपा साई गीता है प्रेम स्वरूपा भक्ति की जीवन भर जिसने साई की शक्ति से चली गई सृष्टि से चली गई सृष्टि से.
That was the golden voice of Sumit Tipu singing Sai Gita from the Sai Gita album. So welcome, Ron.
I'm glad to be here. Hey, thank you, Gail.
So who is Ron Farmer?
Ron Farmer, he's a guy who lives on the Gold Coast in the hills and happily married for the second time and have a long history of involvement with the Sai Baba movement. And I've known Arthur for, as you say, several decades and have always felt very warm and loving towards him. And I can see why he's adored and loved and respected by so many people.
And you've worked with him for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, yes. We're on the first national council that Arthur set up for the Sai organisation. I was the national coordinator for education because the organisation has a special education program where they encourage young people to discover the human values within themselves that are lying, waiting for us to bring them out and make them flourish.
And it's been a lifelong passion, hasn't it, for him?
It has. Since he was a young boy, he is always searching for what's called the truth that underlies all religions. And so he kept looking. He went through Gurdjieff and Theosophy and many different approaches that looked outside the square. And until Sai Baba came into his life, and then he knew he'd found what he's looking for.
I didn't personally know Arthur, but I had seen him around at different conferences and things, and I was just thinking, you know, at the time of his passing, I felt really sad, even though I hadn't personally known him.
Yeah.
But it was more that, you know, he was just an integral part. We just knew of that name. I've always known that name for the 30 years that I've known about Sai Baba and been a devotee, that it's just like that really important part of the organisation was now gone.
Yes, yeah. Yes, he was always an outstanding figure, not just physically, because in some ways he looked like a lion, you know, with his long beard and his wave of hair, but his manner of dealing with people was that of the lion. You know, in many ways he was the king of the forest.
Mm.
Not ruling through fear, but just through a sense of self-mastery and being at ease in putting other people at ease.
And I did read that, or I even know, I've heard around the traps for a long time, that he's known as the lion, and Satya Sai Baba gave him that name. How did he come to give him that name?
Well, he every morning after what's called Darshan, Swami would have the students come into the sort of small temple and he would spend time with them personally, giving them a lot of attention. And, of course, he knew that they loved to see him create things, and he would do this by waving his hand in the air low down, and then something usually would appear in his hand. So this day he said to them all, "Would you like to see a lion?" And then he started to move his hand, and he said, "I'll just bring it in." And he went outside, and he went up to Arthur, and he said, "Arthur, the students want you in there." And so Arthur went and poked his head in, and they all burst into laughter. And Arthur was mystified, and then one of the students told him afterwards the background to it. And so from then on, he was called Lion.
He did look a bit like a lion too, I mean, in a nice way.
Yes. And he had that presence, you know, of wherever he went, he felt, if need be, he could be in charge.
Well, I recall seeing him when I was in India at the ashram in August last year. He was there with his wife, Poppy.
Yeah.
And one day I was walking, going along the pathway somewhere there, and here he was, and he was surrounded by a whole lot of people, you know, of all sorts of people. And you could just see that he was adored. You know, they were hanging on to every word. I don't know what they were talking about, but they were just hanging on to every word he was saying. Like he did have a presence, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Many people loved him dearly and regard him as a very wise man. And now that he's left his body, even though I've known him for decades, I'm still remembering and feeling his presence. And it's as if I myself am going deeper into who Arthur was and is.
Isn't that incredible?
Beautiful.
So he's leaving a legacy even in his passing.
Very much so, yes. He's, and I can feel his presence, and many people can. And it's like he's, you know, he's left his body, but his presence is here.
सबा शेरे साई पति साई तुम हो
Allahu Akbar by the dynamic Dana Gillespie, and I'd have to say that of all of the sacred music that I listen to, that she would be my favourite. Her dynamic voice, the lyrics that cut across all cultural borders, and the richness of the musical accompaniments just never cease to resonate with me on such a deep level. Dana Gillespie. I've read that even before Arthur established the first Psy group in Australia, which was in Brisbane back in 83... Actually, that was the year I came to Sai Baba too. That he was somewhat of a travelling picture show man.
Yes. His work required him to travel throughout Queensland, and so he took advantage of this, and so he'd go off on his work, but weekends and evenings he'd be showing films on Sai Baba to all who were interested, and it would spread like word of mouth. This is how Sai Baba works, you know, that he never had to invite himself anywhere. There'd be calls coming saying, would you come and show that film about that holy man? So he was always engaged in doing that, and that's how many people, particularly in Queensland, came to hear about Sai Baba.
And there were a lot of people back in the early 80s. I don't know how that... Well, I know how it happened for me, but... You know, it did seem to just there'd just be a great amount of people came to Sai Baba at that time.
Yes. Well, Sai Baba said that he arranges every single person who comes. And somebody asked Sai Baba, well, you're the most extraordinary phenomenon in history. How come the American magazines are not full of your miracles and stories? And he says, oh, I keep my hand on it. I don't allow that to happen because... Otherwise, so many people would, thrill seekers would come to India that my devotees wouldn't be able to get close to me. So he says, I choose who comes.
Someone made the comment recently that during that time in the 80s in Australia, many people from the spiritualist church came to Sai Baba.
Yes, because it's not such a big step. The spiritualist church already had that philosophy, which is a very open-minded philosophy, recognising that the one truth must underlie all religions, and so it was natural that they gravitated towards somebody who seemed to know everything and was the essence of love itself.
Ah. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. And it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Sigh and I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. And it's sweeter and sweeter days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love. Days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love. Days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I. 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 My sigh and I, my sigh and I, my sigh and I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love. And sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love. Go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love. Go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I.
I Keep Feeling Your Love In Me was that track, and it was by Cass Smith from the I Keep Feeling Your Love In Me album. I've read that it was through Sai Baba's exemplary message of love that Arthur was inspired to bring his message, Sai Baba's message, back to Australia and eventually throughout the world, which earned him another title of the Love Ambassador. How did that come about?
Well, Arthur's... always been a very loving man, but he walked the talk. He spoke about love, but that's what he radiated. But in almost every talk, he said to people, "Just be the love that you are." Now, of course, when you first hear that, many people wouldn't really grasp the implications of it. The implications are vast. Be the love that you are. We all know that we like to feel loved, and many of us have looked to be loved by many people. But Arthur's saying you don't have to look to be loved. You are love itself. Live that love and shine like the sun. Just let your little self be consumed and shine your love on everybody you meet.
Yes, it's just recognising that, isn't it, within that we are love.
We are love, and love beyond measure.
And how do you think that message that he used to say, that be the love that you are, how do you think that impacted the audiences when they heard that?
Well, I think it had a profound impact at an emotional, heartfelt level first, because Arthur's voice had obviously came from the heart, because it wasn't just a mental thing he was saying. It was, you could feel the tremor in his voice, that heart-soaked tremor, and that would... touch people's hearts, and so they would intuitively feel there's something important in what he's saying. And then as time goes on and Arthur would repeat the same message, be the love that you are, I think people were inspired by his example to actually begin looking for that love within themselves and to believe it and then start acting on it.
Well, that is profound, isn't it, that you can touch so many people with such a simple phrase.
Yes, be the love that you are.
Mm.
Yes.
We can all aspire to that. It'd be a great affirmation to put up on your wall.
Yes.
Or to read every day.
And I've seen him in action so often, not just with people involved with Sai Baba, but when we'd go and see a movie together or be in a supermarket together, the way he talked to the checkout people or to the one selling the tickets or the ice cream was so loving and funny and like they were his most favourite nephew or niece, you know? And people just loved him everywhere.
Like everyone was his children.
Yes.
for this reality and make you question why love can be so visionary. It's time that you should know the answer to the mystery that comes with letting go. How do you like to come with me into the unknown? Love will be the guarantee, and once the seed is sown, love will never let you down, for love is always true. Jewel in the crown, the treasure that's in you. Oh, how do you like to come with me? How do you like to come with me?
For life is not measured by the number of breaths.
Would You Like to Come With Me, from the Planet Love album by Dana Gillespie. So beautiful. So how much of an influence did Arthur play in the formation of the Education in Human Values program in Australia?
Arthur himself didn't delve a lot into the Education in Human Values program because he was more involved in the broad picture of Swami's teachings, but he knew that it was important enough for it needed to be established in Australia. And so he appointed Alan Brown, first of all, with his wife, who already were running with the ball. So he appointed them to be the national coordinators for education. Then he appointed me, because with my wife Swanti, we were already running groups in the community on education and human values. So Arthur knew that it was important, and he picked the right people to run with it.
No wonder Sai Baba chose him, because it sounds like he was very good at delegating and identifying the key people to get that message out, and he carried that very well.
Yes, he did. And such a great leader, you know. When I was in his team, you felt as if there was no critical eye watching you. It was more like this total sense of approval. Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? And, you know, there's not many people that you meet in life where you can feel that way, is there?
No.
Very special person.
The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language of love is the language. The universe speaks. The language.
The Language of Love, The Universe Speaks. Beautiful lyrics from Kailash and Friends off the Circle of Life album, and that track was called Sasquatch. So Sai Baba has many quotes on the human value of love, including there is only one religion, the religion of love, and probably the most well-known amongst Sai devotees is love all, serve all. Would you say that Arthur Hillcoat personified that in every way, in every day?
I would. I've been with him sometimes for days on end and been with him in many different circumstances. And I know that the life that he lived with Poppy was one of loving all and serving all. We were just always amazed at their dedication, their energy, their self-sacrificing. They were constantly visiting people who were either in need or guidance or needed consoling or just people that were true fellow seekers like themselves. Always giving, always there.
Mm.
And when we were talking to Arthur, I could see how others interact with him. Arthur would give them their constant attention. It wasn't as if his eyes were wandering around seeing who was next to be talked to. It was right there totally with that person. I think he gave that feeling that when he was with you, you were the most important person in the world. He illustrated the way in which we can live with an open heart without being somebody who's, you know, who can be blown about by the wind. He was a really powerful, strong human being, but with a heart like butter. And he did understand about love being the essence of all religions, because he has friends from every religion, and he's spoken in many different venues, different religious venues, all over the world.
That's great. We need more advocates like that, especially in our troubled world today, because there's so much focus on the differences rather than the similarities of the different faiths. And
yes, there is.
If we can all be a little bit more compassionate and understanding of that, you know, we certainly need people like Arthur.
I think that's it, because and we can be like Arthur, because he never gave the impression that that we couldn't be love ambassadors. You know, he just would inspire us with his message that's who we are, and that we didn't have to try and be loving. We just had to recognize that this vast ocean of love already lies within us. Mm-hmm. And once that's recognized, as we begin to recognize that, then our whole manner starts to become more and more loving.
Shanti.
That song was called Prashanti Nilayam by Australian couple Michael and Leanne Dobney. And Leanne Dobney is actually the daughter of Arthur Hillcote, so it's a very beautiful song and a fitting tribute for him. It's from their Serenity album, and Prashanti Nilayam is the ashram of Satya Sai Baba, and it literally means the abode of highest peace, and Arthur did spend a lot of time at his abode of highest peace. So continuing on with our interview with Ron Farmer in tribute to Arthur Hillcote, one of the founding members of the Satya Sai Organisation of Australia and Papua New Guinea. It seems that there's so much focus put on physical love in our world today, and when we talk about love, often people's minds will go straight to that physical aspect of a partnership or whatever, when, you know, really it's the divine love that's paramount to have in our lives and to have within and to shine out to everybody else. That's the love we need.
Yes, yes. And Sai Baba talks, and Arthur would refer to this often, that the amount of love that we show, first of all, can be like a little candle, or it can be a bit brighter, like a 40-watt bulb, or it can be a 1,000-watt bulb, or it can be a street lamp which lights up the whole street, or it can be like the moon illuminating at night, or it can be like the sun. And what's waiting inside is love of the intensity of the sun. And when we begin on the journey of love, the physical love is the first step in that direction, but it takes a while to recognize that this has so much limiting it. It's, it only gives off a little bit of light, a little bit of love. And the physical love has so much selfishness that can be coming into it, and that's what mutes the great possibility of the Jesus Buddha type love coming out from us.
No, it's very good, and you know there's a lot to ponder in that.
Yes,
and
yes.
Something certainly to aspire to, and. You know, I think that, you know, in my life, I think that now that I have a greater understanding of divine love and the importance of that and embracing that, how much more happiness, inner happiness and tranquility that I feel.
Yes, yes, because it looks as though we're doing it for others, for the world, but really the greatest payoff is for ourselves, because to be living with that experience that we are love is a tremendous blessing. And as we go more on this journey, we recognise that the people who are the most difficult to love are actually, they're wonderful mirrors for us. They're saying to us, look, you're deluding yourself. You think that I'm difficult to love, but it's not me, you know, I'm God in disguise, this person is saying. You've got to look through your own blockages until you see the divinity in me, until you love the essence that I am. And so Arthur would teach so often that the people who are the most difficult for us to love are actually our greatest teachers and can lead us to a greater pinnacle of love shining out from us than those people that we just got on well with.
Mm. And it sounds like, Arthur, you know, like we know that we can't change another person, but with what you've talked about with Arthur and what I've read about him, I mean, his example of love and that unselfish, unconditional love that he gives, it can't help but have an impact and change other people.
It does, yes, yes. And we know through science, too, that love is a great healer. And this is being demonstrated more and more. And that love is what springs open the heart, and the open heart is very much involved with the immune system, so that people not only become healthier, become happier when they move into the sphere of love that's shining out from somebody like Arthur. So many people would find that just spending a few moments with him or hearing him talk, they would find their way of looking at the world change, that it would be a brighter day.
What an incredible gift to have and to share with the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Arthur's still with us, shining there.
That's right, and he's planted that light, planted that seed in so many people all around the world for us to carry that forward.
Yes, and he reminded us so often that when we look at him, we seem to see another person, but really we're looking at ourselves, that we're all one.
That's right, because when you were talking before about, you know, the people that we have difficulty communicating with or have problems with, to look at them as a mirror, but it's also looking at the other people as a mirror.
That's right.
To reflect back that goodness.
Yes, yes. When we see an exquisite human being like Arthur, it's good to remind ourselves, oh, that's what I'm really like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice feeling.
I'm going to practice that. So before we close today, how would you sum up in a few words Arthur Hillcote?
I would say, like the term given to him, lion, he was fearless. Fearless in his adventures into truth, like Mahatma Gandhi. He was willing to jump into this fast-flowing river that can take us to the ocean, this sense of being absolutely true to oneself. And the message that he constantly got from within, from what I could gather, was that love was the fastest of all the rivers that you could jump into. And so he didn't go into the depth of all the teachings in the same way that some people do, possibly because he'd gone right to the heart of the matter. And that love is all there is. Well, okay, let's just be the love that we are.
They're the words that personify him, obviously. Well, thank you so much, Ron, for talking to me today and just sharing with me and the listeners a little about this amazing person and the impact he's had on so many people, and no doubt that will continue to spread. So thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a great honour and a great pleasure, Gail.
And we'll just close with a quote from Neville Fredericks, the central coordinator of the Psi Organisation of Australia and Papua New Guinea. And I read that he said this about Arthur. May his soul be at rest with the giver and receiver of all things, our beloved Satya Sai.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, Gail. God bless.
God bless you too. Well, that's it again for another Spiritual Harmony program on Cairns FM 89.1. Until next time, bye for now, and you have a great week.